I was told this morning that Elliot would be willing to skip church, or to skip kids' church, just in case I dropped this and broke it, so that he could help repair it. This is a Lego kit that he got. He put it together pretty quick because he's getting pretty good at Legos now. And this was, he had his birthday over the weekend. I don't know how many of you are parents in here and you've experienced just handing your kid a Lego set and just letting them go to town. But the first few times that you do that, you always end up back at the table, sitting with them. Even right now, I'm trying to adjust it because I can see there's one piece on the bottom that is not aligned all the way. And so you end up back at the table helping them. And what ends up happening is they are multiple steps ahead in the project. They've added different pieces, and you're looking at it, you're like, no, this isn't right. It's not like the picture. And you have to go back several steps in order to correct something that was missing. If you've ever built Legos, you've probably even had this happen to yourself where you missed one of those little, you know, tiny 1x2 plates, and all of a sudden the whole build is thrown off because of that. If I were to take this Lego set or one like it, and I was to just hand you a bag of the pieces, you could put something together that was pretty cool. But chances are you wouldn't put together the thing that the maker intended, right? Chances are you wouldn't get the Lego set right if you went in there all confidence, no directions, and there would just be chaos. You would build something, but it probably wouldn't end up looking like this thing. And so that's one of our principles today that we're going to be focusing on, is that confidence without instruction leads to chaos. Confidence without instruction leads to chaos. Life is the same way as this. We can't build lasting change unless we're willing to follow the instructions, and especially the instructions that are found in the Word of God. And as we approach life, we want to make sure that we are tuned in to the things that God is saying, because God has given us a manual. God has given us some instructions for how to live life. If we apply the things that are written in this book, the Bible says that we will be blessed, we will be happy, that we can have joy in all circumstances. The Bible says that our relationships will be stronger, that the way we handle money is going to be better. All sorts of different things that we want in life happen as we follow the instructions that are written in this book. And truth is, sometimes the pain that we go through is because we missed a step several steps back. So we tried to do something. We thought, okay, I think I know how this goes now, and I'm just going to start putting it together. If you've ever assembled IKEA furniture, you've probably also experienced this, where you can kind of see the picture. The shelf is starting to come together. You're looking at it. You're like, okay, I think I know how to do this now. So you just start doing it, and then you realize, wait, there's like four extra pieces here, and I don't know what happened. And now all of a sudden that shelf is really leaning to one side or the other, and you're like, so then you have to undo what you did and go back. And life is the same way, where we get ahead of ourselves, we have more confidence than we should, and then we end up kind of making a mess of things. And when we do that, then we end up having to go back to the source, go back to the instructions, and figure things out again. I think we would all acknowledge in here that we're not perfect. I know that I would raise my hand. You guys don't have to, but I would raise my hand and say that I am not perfect, that there's things inside of my life that I need to change. There are things in the way that I interact with people. There are things in the day-to-day life. I could sharpen things up. I could probably watch a little less television. There are things in my life that I could change. And the truth is, I think that all of us in here want to be better people, but oftentimes the changes don't stick. And so for today's message, we're going to be exploring some of the common reasons why change doesn't stick, and then we're going to be looking at some of the things that God wants to do in us. Four reasons why change doesn't stick. The first one is pride. It's this idea that I already know it. I can already anticipate what's going to happen. I already have the set. You know, I've got the bag. That's good enough. I know how the shelf is supposed to go together. And so I already know that keeps me from listening to the instructions. Truth is, this phrase is deadly to your growth. This phrase is deadly to your growth because hearing doesn't equal doing. If we have this attitude of I already know it, it keeps you from being able to hear other things that might be coming into your life. Another one is then selective listening, and parents in here understand this one really well. Sometimes you're just like, well, that doesn't apply to me. Or you hear something, and because of the messenger or because of the way that it's presented, you tune it out immediately. You have selective listening. Another one is fear of change, right? What if this costs me too much? Because change is a loss in your life. Change, when something changes in your life, it means that you're losing something. And even if you're getting something better out of it, there's still that little bit of pain of, I wish that things were the way that they were. And so there's this idea that if I try to change, it's going to cost me something, and I don't want it to do that. Another one is passivity. You might say, I already come to church. Isn't that enough? And you don't ever take the time to read your Bible for yourself. You don't ever take the time to read the instructions, to go through the things that God is asking you to do. And if you allow either pride, selective listening, fear of change, or passivity, and there's more, obviously, but if you allow these things to run your life, or you allow these attitudes to seep into your life, they will be deadly to the growth that God wants to have for you. Listen to these statements, based around these four ideas. You can say, I already know, or I don't need to know. If I know, I might have to do something about it, or I've already tried, and I can't figure it out, so I give up. And all of these things are these attitudes that we carry with us that are keeping us from growing. And in today's message, we're going to learn how to overcome these barriers and any others that might pop up, and finally experience the kind of transformation that God has promised. Because God is good, and God has a lot that he wants to do in your life. Father God, I just thank you for what you're doing here right now, Lord, and I ask that over these next few minutes as we dive into your word, God, that there would be such a sense of your spirit, God, that we would approach your word humbly, that we would approach it with hunger, and God, we would approach it, God, analyzing and ready to apply the things that you're teaching us today. Lord, we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. We just came out of a series on the prodigal son, but before that, we were walking through our seven core values, and then Easter kind of interrupted things. Now we're going to go back. We've got two values left. We've got this one today, and then we're going to have a missionary come and present next week. The week after that, we'll finish up our core values series. If you've missed any of them, you can go to gcmoseslake.org/sermons, and you can get caught up on all of our core values. But these are the statements of who we are becoming. These are the things that we want God to do in us. As we examine the Word of God, and as we think through the implications of the things that God tells us, we've identified seven things that we feel like are critical to our long-term growth. And so we are in this series kind of teaching through those things. So far, we've tackled becoming compassionate, generous, obedient, selfless, and passionate. Today, we're going to focus on we are teachable, always being transformed by the Word of God. We are teachable, always being transformed by the Word of God. So I've got about four different points here for you guys this morning. The first one is that transformation begins with the mind. Transformation begins with the mind. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So when we look at the life that God has for us, he says, I don't want you to conform. I don't want you to be pressed into the mold of this world, but instead I've got something else for you. I've got something else that I want to do in you. You see, God doesn't start by changing our circumstances. He starts by changing the way that we think. And when that happens, and that happens only when we allow God to renew our minds. What do we mean by renewing our minds? What we mean is this. We mean that there is a system out there that's actively trying to force you to think a certain way. There is a worldly system out there that is trying to convince you that there are things that are happening, that there is a certain way to live life, that if you just chase after these things, that you're going to find the happiness, you're going to find the fulfillment, you're going to find the community that you long for. And if you go along with the world's system, then you are going to find fulfillment and happiness. But the Bible says that we don't want to fall into that mold. Instead, we need to allow God to renew our minds. Now, this isn't about political beliefs or entertainment choices, but it does include those things, because the way that we interact with the world, the things that we consume, they change us, they shape us. And the Bible says, and God says, that we need to allow this. We need to allow the Bible to do just as much work in shaping us as the world is trying to do in pulling us in a different direction. So the first thought there then was that there's a system that is actively trying to force you into its mold. And then there's a pressure there that must be resisted if, as believers, we are trying to learn to love like Jesus. You see, this system is under Satan's rule. It's hostile to God, and it's built on human wisdom. In the world system, we believe things like might equals right, or he who has the gold makes the rules, or it's just a little white lie and it's not going to hurt anybody, or, and this might even be the worst one, if it feels good, do it. And we allow these things to creep into our mind. We allow this, you know, you see commercials on TV and people are smiling and they're happy and you're like, I want that thing right there. And your mind is drawn to it. And there's a certain portrayal that leads you to think, okay, if I just do these things, then I'll receive everything that I want. But we see in here that God's kingdom is not of this world. That God's kingdom is not of this world, and he's called us to be a light in the darkness. This means that we resist sin and the seduction of sin, and we give ourselves completely to be shaped by God. Paul says the alternative to not being conformed is to be transformed. This occurs when our mind is renewed so that our vision, values, and plan are governed by what God says, not by what we think is right or wrong, because what we think is right or wrong is dictated by a belief system. And the question is, are we going to follow the world's belief system, or are we going to follow God's belief system? And then he gives us a promise. And he says, when you do this, When you're able to fulfill this, when you're able to walk in this, then you will be able to understand what God's will is. His good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. Number two, transformation happens through reading the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the Bible isn't a suggestion box, right? It's not something that God put together and it's like, here's some good ideas for us. It's not something that God decided here's a bag of parts that is going to eventually equal your life. Just assemble it however you want. And if you need a hint or if you need a clue, then come back here and you can get some tips, get some ideas, but really you're all on your own to go ahead and do all of these things. No, he says all Scripture is God-breathed. It comes from God. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I don't know if you've ever walked into a situation and felt ill-equipped for that thing, but imagine that confidence, imagine that faith that would rise up in you if you knew that you were walking according to the will of God. And when you walked into there, that you would find that you were equipped to do the thing that you were being asked to do. There's a phrase out that I've heard before that says this. It says, we don't read the Word of God as much as we want the Word of God to read us. That when we read the Word of God, we shouldn't read it just to get through it for the day or just to hear a cool story. But instead, when we read the Word of God, we want it to read back to us. We want it to respond to us. We want it to shine the light of God the truth of God into the dark areas of our life, into the areas of our life that are too easy to compartmentalize. And I'm going to just keep this part over here. I don't need God in this area of my life. Instead, I'll come to church. I'll attend a small group. I'll serve on a team. I'll do all of these things. But when I'm away from church, then I'm going to live my life over here. No, as we read the Word of God, we see that God wants to shine His light on every area of our life. And this is what it means to allow the Word of God to read us, is when we're going through the Scriptures, then we should allow Him to respond to us and allow Him to speak to us in a way that leads to transformation in our lives. And if we do this, God promises again that we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Number three, transformation happens when we hear the Word and obey. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. And I want to spend a little time here. James chapter 1. Transformation happens when we hear the Word and we obey it. James chapter 1. Therefore, he says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And just stopping right there for a second, I think that it's hard for us sometimes to admit that there might be any moral filth in us, that there might be anything inside of us that is dirty or displeasing to God. We try so hard, don't we, to put together a perfect outside image. We come to church, we wear, we dress up, we try to have our church faces on. We make sure that when we walk in the door, even if we were yelling at our kids in the car, when we walk in the door, everybody's smiling, everybody's happy, everybody's shirts are buttoned right, everything, we make sure to iron the night before. We walk in and we're trying to present this idea, this picture of ourselves that is so much different than the things that are going on inside of us. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. He says, this next verse is so powerful. It's really the crux of this whole message and really the idea behind a lot of our core values. Sorry, I'm trying to find the book of James right now, so because I have it written in my notes, but I want to continue on just a little bit. Okay, so he says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God that is planted in you, which can save you. So as we approach the word of God, as we're allowing God to read us, the Bible promises then that there is a salvation that is possible for us as we learn and apply the word of God. He says this then, he says, do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Everybody say, do what it says. Do what it says, right? This is the key. This is the critical part, is that it's not just hearing the word that brings transformation to us. It's applying the word that brings transformation. It's not enough just to have God shine a light into the dark areas of your life to see that there's cobwebs and rats running around and there's mold growing in places. And then you just close the door and you're like, okay, That area is fine, and you just keep walking. No, if God exposes something to you, if you see moral filth in your life, you need to then go and do something with the information that you've just been given. I love this analogy. I use it all the time, and this is where it comes from. So do not merely hear the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. This is your open the door, you see all of the mess, you close the door, maybe you throw a few other things in there, then you close the door and you walk away from it and you're like, that mess is contained. It's not going to do me any more harm. Going into a room and there's a water leak and there's mold growing everywhere. You just close the door and you're like, this is never going to affect the rest of my house. This is never going to affect the rest of me, so I'm just going to leave this sequestered. I'm going to leave it compartmentalized. I'm going to leave it pushed off over here, and I won't have to deal with it. But whoever, verse 25, looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, this is another promise for us, that as we look into the Word of God, we might feel like there's a change coming that is going to lead to a loss. But the Bible says that change leads to freedom in our lives. Then as we look into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. They will be blessed in what they do. We understand that we need to be transformed, and we see the Bible as the example to follow, but we have to commit to following through with the things that the Bible says. It's not just enough to acknowledge there's a problem. It's not just enough to hear that there's a problem. It's not even enough to commit and acknowledge that there's a problem. You have to be willing to do what it says. There was over the last few weeks, we talked about the story of the prodigal son, and this theme kept popping up during our messages because we talked about this group called the Pharisees, who were really good at following rules, but they missed the heart behind it. They didn't understand exactly why God was telling them to do it. I mentioned last week that the Pharisees built some 30 rules around just one law that was the law of the Sabbath, that said that you need to take a day off. And they decided all of these different things were work. And we went over them last week. One of them was like spitting in the dirt. Because if you spit in the dirt, it's kind of like plowing a field. And you don't want to mix things up. Because if you spit in the dirt, next time you might pour some water in the dirt. Or you might do something else. You might, and pretty soon, you know, it's a slippery slope to all of the bad things in life. And so they built these laws around, these rules around the law. But Jesus said, when he was questioned about this, he said, Sabbath wasn't made, or man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. And so what he said there is he said, you guys have it backwards. This law that was written that you should take a day off, this law wasn't written so that God would hold it over you and would make sure that you did it. Instead, the law was written to bring you freedom, to give you an opportunity to take a day off, to give you an opportunity to be able to walk in the love that God has for you, and not to be so busy, not to be so consumed with working 24/7, 365. Instead, you build in seasons of rest into your life, and this is what God wants for you. There was I mentioned a couple weeks ago my love for the show The Amazing Race, and had another activity, another challenge pop up that I thought, this is too good not to share. So in the race, they came to a stop where they had to do a challenge. And their challenge was, we need to build, and they were in, I don't remember where, like Switzerland or something. I don't know. Someplace with a lot of storks. And they around the city, this area, they've built these gigantic stork's nests. They're like 4 feet around or something. Just these gigantic nests that they'll put on top of buildings and put on poles and stuff like that, so that the storks, when they come, have a place to roost, and also so that they're not getting into the places that they don't want them roosting. So the teams had to build one of these nests, and they had an example. They had a guide there that was sitting on a table, and the guy is like continually making nests the whole time so he can show them the process and everything. And then they have to walk away to their table, and they've got all the supplies there, and they have to start assembling it. And just like trying to assemble a Lego set without reading the instructions, there was one team in particular that decided, they took a look, they decided they knew how to do it, they went and started preparing it, they got everything as close as they could, they take it over to the judge, they have it judged, the judge is like, nope, it's not right. So they take it back, they look a little bit closer at the example, and then they take it back, and they're like, okay, what did we do wrong? They make a few adjustments, take it back, again, nope, you didn't do it right. This pattern kept continuing. 6 or 7 times they take it back over, and they're like, is this right? And then one of them finally stops and looks closely at the example. And what happened is they were using like metal wire ties in there for these stork nests, where these storks are going to come, they're going to lay eggs, they're going to, you know, all of these things. And all of the metal pieces were sticking up inside of the nest. So if a stork ever tried to nest in there, it would have gotten hurt. It would have been injured. And all they needed to do the whole time, they were there for, you know, 15 or 20 minutes extra in the middle of a race, all they needed to do was fold the wires down, and they would have been passed. But instead, they missed this one little detail, this one step that really set them back so far in their race. And life is so much like this. where we're going along, and all of a sudden you start beating up against a wall, and you hit the same thing over and over and over again, and something's going on in your relationships, and you don't know how to fix it, or something is going on in your finances, and you're like, I just don't understand why I can't ever get ahead, or you're looking at your professional life, and you're like, I feel like I'm just stuck in the same dead end job, and you find yourself, you're just hitting this thing over and over and over again. But what we need to do is we need to go back to the Word. We need to really understand, dive in. One of the amazing resources that we have here at Generations Church that you miss out on if you're only watching us online. Love you guys that are watching online, but there is a critical thing that you miss out on if your entire church experience is only online, and it's this. You miss out on the wisdom that is present in this room. You miss out on getting into a small group, being able to interact with other people that love you and care about you, that can help hold you accountable, and that can help say to you, man, you've been bumping up against this thing over and over and over again. Maybe you should try doing it this way. Maybe you should try what's written right here. Maybe there's something in your life that you're not applying, that you're not getting right. This is one of the reasons why we believe that small groups are so critical to what we're doing. Is because it gives us an opportunity, an excuse to get together to talk about what we're learning and to be able to share some of the hurts and pains and joys of life. So if you're not in a small group, I would encourage you to get in one. Because it's not enough just to hear the word. We have to both receive it and we have to apply it. This takes humility and it takes us being willing to surrender. When we think it's optional, here's a few examples. We might think it's optional when the Bible tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, right? Well, surely God doesn't understand my morning commute. Surely God doesn't understand, you know, the ungrateful little monster that follows me around all day, right? Surely God doesn't understand my boss. Surely God doesn't understand. He couldn't mean give thanks in all circumstances. He must mean give thanks in select circumstances. But when we do this, when we make a choice, when we make it a priority, we say, okay, I'm going to give thanks no matter what's going on in my life. We find that it starts to reorient our heart, that there's something in us that changes when we start to focus on the good things in life. When we start to give thanks, even, you know, when your car is broken down on the side of the road and you're like, well, thank you, Jesus, that I have AAA. Or thank you, Jesus, that there was somebody that I could call. Or thank you, Jesus, I heard a guy was talking about on a podcast why he was so attracted to his wife. And he said that they went on a date, and during the date, there was the tire blew out. And so they have to pull over to the side of the road, and he's frustrated, and he's trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to fix this? And his wife is sitting, or his girlfriend at the time, is sitting there, and they're talking about it. And he said he gets out, he goes to the back, he lifts the little cover, pulls out the spare tire, and he said his girlfriend at the time just started dancing. And she started doing this little song thing. She's like, I got a spare tire. I got a spare tire. And when he was doing this, he was like, okay, this is a girl that isn't going to allow things to faze her. This is the type of person that I want to be with. Giving thanks in all circumstances allows us to, it transforms us into a person who doesn't let their circumstances dictate their emotions. Instead, you get to be in control based on the Word of God. Another one is when we read that we are to serve one another humbly in love, Galatians 5:13. Because serving others transforms you into a person who, first of all, reflects Jesus to others, who thinks less of yourself, and who finds joy and purpose in lifting others up. Now, I don't know about you, but those are qualities that I want in my life. I want to be the type of person that thinks about others. I want to be the type of person that walks with joy and with purpose in life. I want to be that type of person. We get it as we apply the Word of God. One more. The Bible says that forgiving others isn't optional, but that it's for your benefit as much as it's for the benefit of the person who is wronged. God wants you to become a person who walks in the peace of God, but you have to let Him transform you. Now, that's a hard one, isn't it? When you know that somebody has wronged you, when you know that you've got all the receipts, right? You've saved all of the screenshots. You can quote verbatim how they talked to you or what they said. This is a tough one to then forgive them and to let go. But the Bible says that this is so key to our lives. So you see that the Bible has all sorts of wisdom in it. And as we read through it and as we learn to apply it to our lives, the Bible says that we will be transformed. In other words, we're not going to be formed into this old way of doing things anymore. There's a new way for us. John 16:13, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, the important thing here is that the Holy Spirit is the power that's behind the transformation. I said it at the beginning that sometimes we feel like, okay, I'm gonna purpose in my heart that I am going to change. I'm gonna do things differently. I'm going to make a difference in my life. And then, you know, just like a New Year's resolution, you do it well for the first week. The second week, you do it about 50%. And then after that, you just kind of forget about it. But as we lean into the Holy Spirit, as we lean into the things that God wants for us, then the Holy Spirit empowers, first of all, he enables us to understand the Bible at a deeper level. He enables us to understand here Jesus calls him the Spirit of truth. He enables us to understand, and he is our guide then into all truth. He shows us the things that we need to see when we need to see them. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us and to empower us to live according to God's will. That means we don't have to do it on our own. And this should be such a freeing thought for us. If the Bible is our example that shows us a picture of how to live the blessed life, the Holy Spirit then is our instructor teaching us how to forgive, who to serve, or what to be thankful for. So the Holy Spirit then does this work of revealing to us and showing us, helping us to understand, helping us to apply. It's not just a textbook, but the Bible with the Holy Spirit comes alive in us. It changes us, transforms us. Amen? Amen. So what we want to do then is we want to be a people that learn to listen to his promptings, because he has so much more for you. We have to want to be transformed. We have to want to be transformed. So God has given us the example found in the Word of God, right? This is the stork's nest that's on this table. And God has given us the instructors, the person making the thing, building the IKEA furniture, helping us to understand how to put the Legos together. God has given us the example, and he's given us the instructor. But now it comes back to us. And for just a minute, I want to talk to us today. Because in the same way that God gave Adam and Eve a choice, he gives us a choice every single day, and especially today. There's a book called Canoeing the Mountains written by Todd Bolsinger, and he says this. He said, in addition, we need to grasp just how difficult transformation can be. Even if we agree that we are in an adapt or die moment, the urgency of the situation isn't enough. When given that particular choice, 90% of people choose death. So if we find ourselves in an adapt or die situation, 90% of people choose death. What does he mean by this? In a study of those who were facing that exact choice, stop drinking or you're going to die, stop smoking or you're going to die, change your diet or you will die, the vast majority of people refuse to make the changes that are necessary. In a world where we now have the technology to do heart valve bypasses and even complete heart transplants, we continually fail at getting people to change the behaviors that make these procedures necessary. As Ronald Heifetz says, we have the technology to fix the heart, but not to change it. Transformation isn't about trying harder then. It's about surrendering deeper. Who are we becoming? Who are we becoming? We've decided that one of our core values here, as we've read and studied the Word, is that we are teachable, always being transformed by the Word of God. That we should always be open to learning, to exploring, to opening up those dark rooms in our life for God to shine his light on them. We should always be open, always be looking. God, how can I change? Are you letting God's word confront and shape you or just comfort you? Are you relying on willpower or are you relying on the Holy Spirit's power? Are you showing up but not surrendering? God wants to transform your life, but he won't do it without your permission. He won't force it. You have to ask for it. You have to become a person who is teachable. Father God, we thank you for this word today, Lord, and we thank you that Father, you are speaking in ways that I can't. God, that you are cutting to the heart of the matter right now. God, I pray that you would examine our hearts for just a minute. And God, you would show us things in us that need to change. God, sometimes we don't have all of the answers, but just asking the questions gets us on to the right path. And so God, I pray that you would help us to ask that question today. You see, this moment isn't about trying harder. It's about surrendering your will to God and inviting the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. So if you're ready to move beyond surface change in your life, or if you're tired of being stuck in a certain situation, if you need the power of the Holy Spirit to transform your thoughts, your habits, and your heart, in just a second, I'm going to invite you to come forward. I'm going to invite you to spend some time in prayer. Dennis, if we could get a song queued up. I want us to spend a couple minutes asking God, what are the areas of my life where I need to be more teachable, where I need to be more humble? We want to submit ourselves to what God wants to do in us so that we can find and see the change that God has for us. So if you need the power of the Holy Spirit to transform your thoughts, your habits, and your hearts, first of all, let's just start with acknowledging, God, I need you. God, I need you to transform me. God, there's something inside of me that isn't quite right. I feel like I missed a few steps. Maybe I need to tear some things down and rebuild some things to make it stronger, to make it better. God, show me what that thing is. God, help me to be transformed. If you're in here today and you just want to acknowledge that God, I need you to transform me, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith just by raising your hand and just by acknowledging all over this place that God, there's something inside of me that needs to change. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. If that's you in this place, go ahead and raise your hand. And we're just doing this to acknowledge to God, God, I choose to surrender. I choose to give it over to you. God, I trust you. I believe that you have more for me in this life. God, I want to see you and I want to follow you. Man, you guys can.